Welcome to the Messiah Podcast, where we discuss issues of personal finance, investment, and entrepreneurship. Today, we've got an interesting episode. We're talking about Dave Ramsey and Robert Kiyosaki. This is going to be the first part of a two-part series, where we're sort of going to be comparing the ideologies and comparing the teachings. So in the first part today, we're going to be talking from a personal finance perspective in terms of comparing the personal finance advice that they give. On the second part, we're going to be talking about these two gentlemen from an entrepreneurship perspective. We're going to compare like the business principles that they teach. So first up, we're going to be talking about Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is the CEO of Ramsey Solutions. He's got a very popular podcast on YouTube, the Ramsey Solutions podcast, where they give people entrepreneurship advice. They also give people personal finance advice. I've actually read a couple of books of his, such as The Total Money Makeover. So from what I've read, Dave Ramsey grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, in the southern part of the United States. And from his story, he seemed to have started a real estate venture in his 20s. And at some point, he was doing pretty good. However, I did pick up that in his real estate venture, he was overloaded with debt. And at some stage, his business kind of burst and it really got into a dire financial situation. From his story, I did pick up that that really affected his marriage. And that led him to eventually convert and give his life to Christ, get his money in order, and kind of like restructure his personal finances. So he put himself in a position where he no longer relied fully on debt to do business. And that's how his business philosophy kind of emerged. So Dave Ramsey is very well known for the 7 baby steps. And those are the principles that he teaches on the personal finance side of things. Now, on the other hand, we have Robert Kiyosaki. Robert Kiyosaki is very popular for, you know, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. That's probably the most commercially successful personal finance book of all time. It's really been impactful. It's really influenced the world. So from Robert Kiyosaki's story, I do also understand that he grew up in Hawaii in the United States. He was part of the military. I think he was involved in the Vietnam War in the 1970s. What impacted Robert Kiyosaki's life was his best friend's dad. So in his book, he sort of does a comparison between what his biological father taught him. So his biological father is referred to as the poor dad, and his best friend's father is referred to as the rich dad. His biological father, at some stage, worked in the government, in the U.S. government, and just had a regular day job, while his rich dad, his best friend's dad, was an entrepreneur. He was a business owner, and he learned very different and conflicting philosophies in terms of managing money, totally different concepts regarding building careers and all that kind of stuff. And as a result, you know, that's where his personal finance and business philosophy was derived from. So let's take a deep dive into Dave Ramsey's teaching, what is known as the 7 baby steps. So the 7 baby steps are 7 principles on the personal finance front. So what are the 7 baby steps? Step number 1 is to save a $1,000 emergency fund. So an emergency fund is money that you set aside for any unexpected event, what they call a rainy day. Let's say a window in your house can get broken, which comes with an unexpected expense. Your car can get broken down. There can be like a medical issue in your family that does require some medication that's a bit expensive. Those are some examples of emergencies or unexpected expenses. So if you have a $1,000 emergency fund, you can just pull money from that. He wants people to avoid the whole issue of pulling money from a credit card or like resorting to some sort of debt, provided that you don't have any sort of saving or emergency fund set aside. The second baby step is paying off your debt. He refers to the debt snowball. So the debt snowball is a principle of paying the smallest debt off first. So let's say you have a $5,000 loan and you have a $2,000 loan. So it would be easier to pay off the $2,000 loan. And when you do that, the monthly payments that you have are going to reduce significantly. The amount that you would have normally used to pay the $2,000 loan, you can actually set aside and accumulate and eventually pay off the $5,000 loan. So that's a debt snowball, paying off your debt. The rationale behind paying off your debt is on a monthly basis, you're going to have less payments and you're going to have more money set aside that you can save and invest and build wealth. The third baby step is saving a 3 to 6 month emergency fund. That emergency fund equates to 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses. So what someone must do is on a monthly basis, you should have an idea of what your monthly budget is, how much you spend for all your household expenses, and you multiply that by 3 to 6. So that is a provision that you're creating for yourself in the event that you have a very severe emergency. So let's say you lose your job, or you become incapacitated, or let's say you get into a really bad accident that debilitates you to some extent. You're not able to work for 3 to 6 months. So if you have a 3 to 6 month emergency fund, you have money that you can use to pay your bills if you don't work. So let's say you're a self-employed person and you have a job where your income depends on your productivity. And if something happens that affects your productivity, you got like a 3 to 6 month financial buffer with that emergency fund. The fourth baby step is investing 15% of your household income in retirement. Because now by the time you're in step four, you've paid off your debt, you have an emergency fund, so you have a buffer going on. So now you have extra money from your monthly income that you can now put aside for your retirement. Baby step number five is saving a college fund. So this is the American context. He's talking mostly to American middle-class citizens. You know, college in the United States is really expensive. It can cost you $100,000 to even over $300,000 over a four-year course. So it's always ideal to save college money as soon as possible. I personally do have a college fund for my kids. I have one kid so far, but obviously do plan on reproducing a bit more. And I do have a college fund that I did set up when my first son was born. On a monthly basis, I do put money into that fund, and that's actually invested. So the value of the money has grown over time, which is a good thing. So by the time my kids are in college age, that money would have grown and should be able to cover a significant portion, if not all, of the college expenses. Baby step number six is paying off your mortgage early. So what Dave Ramsey advises is he doesn't advise people to buy houses with mortgages over 15 years, right? So the threshold that he advises is mortgage with maximum 15-year tenor. And he ensures that the amount of the mortgage does not imply mortgage payments of over 25% of your monthly income. So that doesn't, you know, overwhelm you financially. So he encourages paying off your mortgage eventually, like paying it off completely, so you don't have mortgage payments. Not having mortgage payments also means having more money aside from your income. And finally, baby step number seven is building wealth and giving. Because by here, you've got no debt, you got no mortgage, you're totally debt free. All the money that comes in is just used to save and invest. By baby step number seven, you already have your 3 to 6 month emergency fund. All you're doing is just investing for retirement, investing in college fund, and whatever remains you can enjoy. You can even give and just continue to build more wealth. When it comes to investing, Dave Ramsey is more inclined to like mutual funds. He advises people to go for mutual funds that outperform inflation. He seems quite risk averse when it comes to stocks, because stock prices are, you know, they do require more proficient and high level analysis of the business, right? Because if you compare Dave Ramsey's investment philosophy to someone like Warren Buffett does have more in-depth techniques to assess businesses that you invest in. It does require one to understand the company's business thoroughly. It does require one to be highly informed of what's happening in the financial market. So he resorts to keeping it simple, you know, a more risk-averse approach. So that's Dave Ramsey from a personal finance perspective in a nutshell for you. Now let's look at Robert Kiyosaki. Robert Kiyosaki in the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book is known for the four quadrants that he teaches. So what are these four quadrants? It's the E, the S, the B, and the I. Those are the four quadrants. So E is employee, S is self-employed. The third quadrant is the B, the business owner. And the fourth quadrant is I, the investor. So during his story, Kiyosaki kind of contrasts what his rich dad taught him versus what his poor dad taught him. His poor dad, his biological dad, who was a government professional, encouraged Robert Kiyosaki from childhood to, you know, get his education, get a good job, you know, especially a good and secure job. That's what his poor dad taught him. His rich dad taught him something else. Because sometimes in summers, he would like work for his rich dad and spend time with him. And his rich dad was a business owner. He would teach him how it is to actually run a company, employ people. And obviously the way entrepreneurs and business owners manage money is kind of different from employees. And he even learned some investment philosophies from his rich dad. Now let's break down the quadrant. When you read Kiyosaki's books, he pretty much is inclined to encourage people to become business owners and investors, because he pretty much points to those two quadrants as being the ones that can lead you to more wealth. The E is the employee. This is someone that has a day job and pays taxes. Looking at the spirit of the book, he kind of encourages people to graduate from just being an E, from being an employee. The S now is self-employed. So there is a difference between someone who is self-employed and someone who is a business owner. So the self-employed person is someone that works for themselves. They're in a different quadrant. However, their income is directly related to their productivity. So let me give an example. Someone who is a freelancer or a consultant. That's the example of a self-employed person because the income that they make is directly related to the skill. So let's say you do video editing on a freelance basis. You're a self-employed person. So you only make income to the extent that you actually do deals to actually edit people's videos. And you obviously get paid for that. So if you go on holidays, you're not going to have income flowing in because you're no longer being productive. So if you're a freelancer and God forbid you get into an accident, your productivity is going to stop and income is going to stop rolling in. That's a self-employed person. The third quadrant is business owner. This pretty much is an entrepreneur, someone who actually owns the business. So an example of a business owner is Elon Musk, someone like Sam Altman. There's so many prominent examples that we have nowadays. These are people that own a significant portion of the equity of their own business. Most of the times, these people are the CEOs or just the business leaders. They're the leaders of the business. That's business owner. In this case, you have employees working for you. So you own and control the means of production. Your income is no longer tied directly to your skill. So you might not be a great accountant. You might not be good at editing videos or those individual skills. But now you're leading a team of people. You have a vision. You have company strategy. And you're directing all those employees and resources towards the objective of the organization. Your income is tied to the revenue that the company makes. Because obviously you got the revenue, you got the cost of sales, you got the operational costs. Below that, you got financial costs, and then you got the bottom line, right? So now your salary, your income is part of the operational expenses of the business. And depending on the gross profit, there is wiggle room on how you can adjust your salary and the salary of the employees. So this is now a different quadrant. It's a totally different tax bracket. One of the advantages that Kiyosaki promotes on this one is behavior from a fiscal perspective can change. When you're an employee, you're only subject to post-tax dollars because the income that comes into your account on a monthly basis already has had, you know, taxes and other expenses, let's say medical insurance deducted from it. So you got post-tax dollars. Now, one of the upsides he teaches on business ownership is that if you're the CEO of a business, and let's say you have dinner with the customer, you don't have to use your personal post-tax dollars for that. You can actually use the company's expenses to have dinner with that customer and declare it as company expense. So in this case, you're using pre-tax dollars for that. That expense is deducted from the revenue. After that, you have, you know, operational profit. So with that expense, the profit is reduced and therefore the tax that you pay is less. So that's one of the tax advantages that he teaches in oversimplified fashion. Now, the fourth quadrant, which is the investor quadrant, these are people who own traditional stocks, bonds, real estate, and business. One of the most prominent examples of someone in this quadrant in our day is Warren Buffett. He's considered by most to be the greatest investor of all time. So he borrowed a lot of the investment principles from his mentor, Ben Franklin, the author of Intelligent Investor, and he really teaches value investing. So value investing is a situation where you study a business thoroughly and you buy the business stock at a time when the business valuation is cheap. So there are techniques to like sort of estimate what the business is worth so you can determine what the optimum stock price is. The reality is that the market does not behave in a rational manner. But sometimes stocks and businesses are overpriced because for emotional reasons, a lot of people in the market are buying that stock. He kind of teaches you to time the buying of the stock properly so you can buy it at a low price. And eventually over time, as the business continues to perform and the stock value goes up, you will make a gain on that. And that's really how he's become extremely wealthy. Another example of someone in the investor quadrant who's pretty prominent is Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone is big on real estate investing. The very popular reality show Shark Tank is another pretty good example. People like Mark Cuban, people like Kevin O'Leary are also investors. These are people who have been entrepreneurs. They had their startup businesses many years ago. They've built really successful businesses. And due to their experience and the business acumen, they've now decided to become investors, where they dedicate a lot of their time analyzing and evaluating really good businesses with potential for growth and they invest in those businesses. And another example still is Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel is one of the founders of PayPal. And between the late 90s and early 2000s, he and Elon Musk decided to merge their businesses to form PayPal. And eventually he sold down his interest in his business. He stepped down from being CEO. And today he owns a venture capital called Founders Fund. And he also dedicates most of his life to analyzing businesses with potential and investing in those businesses. He was one of the investors of SpaceX, and he's made a lot of gains from that. And he's also one of the early investors of Facebook. And he's made tremendous gains from Facebook because, you know, in the early days, the valuation of the business really exploded as the growth of it became really viral. If you look at the wealthiest people in the world, a lot of them are between the B quadrant business owner and the I quadrant investor. You look at people like Elon Musk, he's a business owner and he also invests. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, is also among the world's richest. He operates in both the B quadrant and the I quadrant because he's a business owner and investor. He founded Amazon and he also has an investment fund that's in his name. I've kind of summarized Dave Ramsey and Robert Kiyosaki's money philosophies and kind of contrasted them. So the rhetorical question would be, which of these two men will make me rich? So first of all, I would say that it all depends on what you want. These people are targeting different niches. So Dave Ramsey is targeting American middle-class people who aspire to continue to live on a normal income from the day job and build wealth in the best way possible. So he is anti-debt. He's not in favor of debt for financing, let's say, vehicles or even buying houses. So if you follow Dave Ramsey consistently for many years, you're going to be debt-free. You're going to have like 6-month emergency fund. If anything happens to you, you got enough money to cover you for 6 months. You're going to have solid retirement funds. You're going to have solid college funds. You're going to have your mortgage paid off. And all you're going to be doing with your income is just building wealth and giving. And you're even going to have a lot of extra money for leisure. But you're still going to be in the E quadrant from Robert Kiyosaki's perspective. One of the things you need to be wary of is, number one, this is for middle-class Americans, mostly, and even applies to middle-class people of different countries. If you want to get to the billionaire status, that's most likely not going to get you there. One other downside is the credit score system in the U.S. So the U.S., for the benefit of those who are not familiar, has what they call the FICO score, the credit score system. So for your credit score to build up, you need to have a loan or a credit card or multiple products, and you need to be paying those on a regular basis. Now, someone with credit that pays it off on a regular basis is going to have a higher credit score than someone with no loans whatsoever. So David Ramsey is an anti-credit person. And if you follow that philosophy, you're not really going to build a solid credit score. Let's say you want to buy a house one day, that's going to make it challenging. And let's say you want to move from the E quadrant to like the business owner quadrant. Chances are you're probably going to need some sort of debt or credit for your business. Sometimes it's kind of challenging to use your own savings or your own money to fund really expensive business ventures. You're going to struggle to build credit to eventually build business credit. Another downside is you're probably not going to benefit from rewards and bonuses from credit cards. Because here's the thing. It is possible to have credit cards in the US or in another country and accumulate rewards. So for example, I get cashbacks for my credit cards. And I use those cashbacks for, you know, holidays and leisure. I only use credit cards for bills and monthly expenses. I don't use it for anything else, and I pay it off immediately. So I close the month with zero balance and a bunch of bonuses and rewards. Those benefits and rewards can actually be cost effective when it comes to leisure and holidays. Look at Robert Kiyosaki's philosophy. One little downside is he kind of like, in a subtle way, is not really in favor of the E quadrant, the employee quadrant. But we mustn't discount that, number one, not everybody has aspirations to be an entrepreneur or a big time investor like a Warren Buffett, because it is quite a risky venture. Some people are risk averse. Some people are just not built to be entrepreneurs. And there is something called an intrapreneur. There are people who prefer to rise up the corporate ladder in big corporations and big companies. And sometimes you can have very high remunerating jobs in that space, such as executive positions, CEOs. An example was Steve Ballmer. Steve Ballmer, for a significant portion of his career, was an intrapreneur. He at some point was the CEO of Microsoft, and today he's a big-time billionaire. He owns a basketball team, the LA Clippers, and I believe that he does own significant stock that do bring a lot of wealth to him. So it is possible to be a very successful employee, and we mustn't discount that. And if you're someone who is an employee, with no aspirations to be a business owner or entrepreneur, you mustn't ever feel like you're useless or feel like you can never be really successful. You mustn't in any way or form look down upon yourself. Robert Kiyosaki also differs on his debt philosophy. He believes in good debt versus bad debt. He is in favor of debt or other people's money as long as you use a debt or that other capital to acquire assets that generate cash flow. Bad debt is debt where you acquire an asset or you acquire something that takes money away from your pocket. So for example, a loan to buy a car or a house to use personally would be considered bad debt. Because if you buy a house to live in it, that's money coming out of your pocket. You're going to be paying fees. You're going to be paying mortgage taxes. You're going to be paying for maintenance of the house. You're not actually generating income. But now, if you acquire debt to buy a piece of property to rent out or to sell at a higher price, you'd consider that good debt because that is debt used to generate wealth. That's one another area where they differ. So in conclusion, I would say two things. Number one, it's very important to balance things. I wouldn't encourage anybody to drink any of their Kool-Aid. In other words, don't dogmatically follow Ramsey or follow Kiyosaki. See yourself as a company. These are two different ideologies, and you can chew the meat and spit the bones out and apply what is good for you. And number two, you got to be clear in your goal. Do you want to remain as an employee, or is your goal to be a business owner, successful entrepreneur? And based on what your goal is, you should hear different views. Don't just stick to one. So I hope this episode blessed you. Look forward to having you in episode two, part two of this episode, where I kind of distinguish these two more from an entrepreneurial standpoint. So thanks for listening. Take care. God bless. I was a lost soul, just looking for a life to live. But nothing came close to the freedom I found today. Now I'm trying to go hard, so I can tell her all about his love. Get him all to trust God, cause pretty soon the gate is closing up. They ain't no escaping, I'm lost in translation. My God has been patient.